This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing, and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of. Welcome to the Doc and Guru podcast. This is the guru speaking, and well, at least I'm led to believe I'm the guru on this show.
And this is the doc, Doug Mateus. And it's really great to start and kick off with a marketing and media podcast. We will look to cover all things marketing and media and everything in between. So we really hope that it's entertaining, engaging, and educational at the same time.
Yeah, Doc, I think I'm here. My name's Gordon Muller. I'm the guru. After 40-something years in media, I'm here just to make sure that marketers include media in the discussion on marketing. Well, it's been a rearguard action for the last 40 years to keep you guys focusing on media. You like to drift off, but I'm here to keep you honest.
That's absolutely, Gordon. And I think the challenge, for modern day marketers is to marry both of those, you know, is to marry the right type of creative with the right type of media. And I think, you know, in your experience, certainly media has fragmented a lot and continues to do so. So all the more reason for better creative, more targeted creative. But certainly from my point of view, and just stepping back a second, over my 30-year career, most of it in marketing, certainly media has always been uppermost in our mind because it's such an expensive medium. And, you know, most of our budget goes to and went to media. So certainly I sat with our media houses extensively through the years to really try to get an understanding and, of course, get the best bang for your buck.
See, you've segued from creativity and advertising straight to discounting, Doc. That's precisely why I'm here, to try and put a stop to that kind of thing. And as for fragmentation, the only reason I'm still involved in the media industry after 40-something years is I'm living in the hope that one day somebody will actually start an advertising agency. Remember them? Everybody was in one building together. If that happens, I reckon I'm back in the game, because that is one thing I do understand. How on earth, apart from blaming Sir Martin Sorrell, we've got ourselves into this fragmented mess is beyond me. So I'm here to keep media on the table in case somebody wants to start an ad agency. If you want to start an ad agency, all you got to do is like me on Facebook, or like Doc and Guru on Facebook, or subscribe to this podcast, and you and I'll be in touch.
Absolutely. And I think already, you know, we've gone straight into a host of different things in Pandora's box, you know. So there's so many topics to discuss, Gordon. I mean, from, you know, strong views on media and advertising. From my side, it's the client side in terms of good and bad marketing, good and bad choices, good and bad people. So there's a myriad of stuff to discuss and really delve into. And certainly I'm excited, and hope the listeners out there are equally excited.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as the show progresses, we'd really like people to dial in, to communicate with us via the Facebook page. But it's really crucial that this becomes a dynamic dialogue with the industry, and we're very keen to have that dialogue. That my concern is that much of the conversation that you and I are probably going to have is taking place right now between closed doors. So there's all sorts of committees and all sorts of bodies running the industry, but very little central communication, which means big decisions are being made about the future of the industry, sometimes not even in this country, and that worries me. So something I'd like to be very, very kind of focused on is how do we take ownership of ourselves as an industry? Because from a media perspective, if it all goes down to digital data and software, then I can run my company out of Dubai. I don't actually need to be in South Africa, and I'd hate just to become another back office to a global media industry instead of being as we were and as we can be again, the gateway to Africa when it comes to media and advertising.
Mm, absolutely. And Gordon, you talk about committees and bodies and functions. I mean, how effective have you felt they've been in the past? My view is they haven't been that great. Certainly from a regulatory point of view, the marketing and media industry, working with various brands, have always sort of self-governed and done what we thought was best for us, as opposed to you having sitting on a body or committee telling you or guiding you in terms of what they think is best for the industry.
Yeah, for me, the average industry committee, it's a bit like a scrum half. They take themselves way too seriously. That's, you're actually supposed to just facilitate the game. So there's a lot of committees right now. And don't get me wrong, a lot of them are doing a lot of good work, and there's some really good people who I'm really grateful to for the amount of time they put in. But it seems to me that a lot of committees have just got themselves bogged down with their primary issue of staying alive. It's like John Travolta syndrome. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Advertising Standards Authority was one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Dedicated the last 4 years of their life to just staying alive and totally forgot to actually do any work while they were at it. So, and I know they've been reconstituted, and that would certainly be an area I'd love to talk to the new setup there. But have we not maybe got to a point realistically where we've got to model some of the jigs around the world? Is it really, really enough to expect big industries to be run by volunteers and committees and things like that? I think we have to get serious about this. It's no longer a question of getting on with your chums. If we don't sort this, we're going to close this industry down in this country and, as I say, just become someone's back office.
Absolutely. And I think, and part of that problem, I think, permeates and spills over into the corporate world. And as I say, over my career, a lot of the times, people would take certain other disciplines a little bit more seriously. If you look at a body of chartered accountants, engineers, etc., as opposed to a body of marketers. And I think that's part of that sort of own goal syndrome of where we as marketers and brands and people leading it, as well as committees, have probably been our own worst enemy to some degree. So you're right. It's no longer, a sort of hobby on a Sunday afternoon. It's a proper grown-up job if we're going to do it correctly. And I say we, the industry as a whole. So it would be quite interesting for us to invite some of those bodies and people who run those bodies in on future podcasts to hear what they're doing in terms of how they're guiding, gearing, as well as some of the ideas in terms of being a far more serious body for the marketing media industry.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's really music to my ears. And one of the bodies I would love to see represented on the podcast at some point is the Advertising Media Association of SA, where we've been around since the 70s. I've been involved with the Master since the 70s. And the truth is, in terms of the progression and the way we're teaching and training people has not progressed much in the last 40 years, and it's a source of concern. In particular, we're not really equipping them for the modern world. I mean, we're trying to teach people to do work, which is done by an algorithm, but a million times faster. We need to train them different skills. We need to teach them what are the catalysts and what are the right kinds of things that you would give to the algorithm to process, and then how to understand what comes out the back end. But to teach people to do the work that an algorithm can do, i.e. here's a rate card, there's a piece of audience research, connect the dots, is insane. But also to that point as well, we've not progressed any further up the scale in terms of the level of standing of that industry training. We are, in fact, regressing, if I'm not mistaken. We're at an NQF level 5 and drifting downwards into kind of a quasi-matric type qualification. We need to move that thing up to a university level qualification linked to CPD programs. So you're right, doctors, lawyers, all those professionals, accountants have got their CPD programs. The Marketing Association, SA, has got it. Would love to have guys like Greg from MASA on the show talking about how they've integrated CPD programs into you know, that professional standard. So, yeah, open forum, open discussion on that. I have a particular passion for training, so I'd love to hear from those industry bodies.
That's, yeah, absolutely, Gordon. It's quite scary because, you know, I wasn't, and I'm not that close to it as you are on that side of it. But certainly, you know, if we're not educating people with the right skills, you know, it's an agile learn, unlearn, relearn cliche of many years ago. And I think that's paramount in any business. And certainly it would be, I think, quite interesting to get somebody on to talk about that pathway to success and pathway to ongoing learning and development.
Yeah, and I'm not just talking about the skill set itself. I mean, obviously we have to adjust the skill set required of being a successful media decision maker now, completely different to what it was in the 70s. But there's an emotional quotient as well, which we have to plug into. And one of the people I'd love to see on the show as well is somebody that we've been chatting to in the background, is Marte from the ACA. You know, I'm chatting to the ACA right now about trying to move us into a space where we stop talking about transformation of the industry, which has got itself completely bogged down in BEE stuff, to transfiguration. It's not enough to just transform the shareholding of your company or the structure of your board or stuff like that. We've got to look at addressing all the issues which we need to transform ourselves around. So gender would be one of them, just for a start. You know, we need to rethink it. So this, we hope, is a forum where people like Marte from the ACA and other bodies like Greg Garden could come in and actually address those and create it as a forum for invitation to pitch it at young people. I'm concerned, you know, you've got to ask, I mean, I'm not complaining about this next question, but you've got to ask yourself, how is it possible somebody of my age has still got a job in advertising? You know, it's because my skills haven't been replaced. I should have been replaced 10 years ago. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't see that line of succession, thank goodness.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise I'd be out mowing the lawn instead of being in here.
Sure, absolutely. I think, Gordon, just changing tact for a second, I'm getting quite depressed with that line of discussion.
Don't be impressed. Nothing wrong with mowing the lawn.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
Let's talk about stuff that's working. What impresses you around SA marketing and advertising? What has really worked well and is continuing to work well for you?
Well, I'm beginning to see that, you know, a slow progression towards understanding that it's no longer a question of just offering people like yourself big audiences at a discount. So I'm really excited about the dialogue and the level of energy that's being applied to looking at ROI as a central offering from media. But I think what probably touches my heart more than my mind is the slow recognition, once again, that advertising has always been about creativity. You can media yourself into a corner, but if you're working with a bad idea, it's not going to help. I mean, you know, if you go back into the 50s, Russell Reeves wrote that seminal book, you know, Reality in Advertising. And he said it then, you know, that nothing will destroy a bad product faster than good advertising. So we've got to recognize that the flip side of that is nothing that will build a mediocre or an undifferentiated product better than great advertising. We've got to have a creative flavor and a creative angle on everything we do. Otherwise, we just an also-ran business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the crazy part of it is I was doing an interview a few weeks back and somebody asked me the question, saying, give me the best piece of creative that you've seen this year. And I battled it. I battled to think of an answer. And I just feel that maybe the creative has gone into product and price. You know, every second ad, whether it's on television, the bit that I watch these days, certainly when I turn on my computer, the newspapers, the few that I read, it's one retail offer after the next. And I know that, you know, that the economy's tight, but certainly there's still a place for creativity. And I agree with you. I think one's got to find that balance. And brave marketers. And having said that, you know, there are some brands that have stood out this year when I really thought about it, and they've done some brave stuff, some breakthrough stuff. And quite ironically, one or two of them on relatively small budgets, you know, compared to the normal big players, you know, the big FMCG houses, the big telcos, the big banks that have produced a lot of retail work.
Yeah, look at. The big challenge globally is the realization that there's been a drift in marketing and communication to short-termism. And somewhere in that drift, you know, that in and of itself shouldn't be a problem. Somewhere in that drift, though, the conclusion has been drawn that because it's short term, it can't be creative.
Mm.
They're not mutually exclusive. You can be short term and creative.
Mm.
Yes, the long term branded kind of play allows you more space to build, you know, the brand love over time and all those things that create great brands. But the idea that just because it's short term doesn't mean it's, you know, it doesn't have to be creative, for me, doesn't work. You've got to put it together. Mm. And short termism as well, you have to evaluate its ability to contribute upwards to the brand, not just downwards to the bottom line. And so you were talking about great brands. Hopefully during the course of the coming weeks, and we're going to be on every fortnight, we're going to be addressing with Kantar the issue of brands, the top 30 brands in South Africa and how they value it, how they're valued and how they've worked. And one of those top performing brands is Nando's.
Mm.
I think Nando's is a marvelous example of short-termism, which never sacrifices that creativity, but the creativity, whether it's a print ad or a radio commercial or a one-off social media event, always contributes upwards to the greater brand feel. It's brilliant.
Absolutely, Gordon. I think Nando's is a wonderful example of that. And I think, you know, it's that whole thing between strategy and tactics. And a lot of the times, you know, you look at brands, and Nando's is not a small brand, but certainly if you look at their spend versus some of the bigger spending brands, there's a marked difference there. But certainly they've gone out and it's pulled through. It's not just a piece of TV or an outdoor. It's into the store. It's the way their staff act. And a big thing for me is that whole internal, external branding. You know, a lot of great companies marry those two. And I've also been privileged to work with great companies, and I've worked with companies where perhaps, and I look at myself, you know, I can't just blame everyone else. I take it on the chin, where our external message was incongruent to what was being lived inside of the brand. So you need that employee engagement. You need someone to believe and everyone to work for a common purpose. And I think Nando's is one of those examples where it's not just the overt external stuff, but certainly the way they live and their values and their ethos. And so that's a wonderful example.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way you live. You're quite right. And, you know, it's the kind of McDonald's thing for years and years and years, going right back to Ray Kroc. It's the brand ethos that makes the point of difference. Mm. But at the end of the day, you know, you picked on something which is interesting, which is the spend angle. So again, looking at the brands, top 30 brands in SA, the Kantar brands study, Standard Bank is the most valuable brand in the country. The average value of brands, the top 30 brands in the country, has declined by 13%. Standard Bank has declined in value as a brand by 24%. They account for over 20% of the total value of the decline in the top 30 brands, and yet they're one of the big spenders in the country. Now, it pains me to say this, and my friends in media agencies are going to cut me off from the Friday evening drinks when I say this, but spending big money is not the solution, you know, to the problem on every occasion. You've touched on something which is important. We're trying to spend our way in media out of trouble by creating more and more reach instead of focusing on the actual offering itself, either the product or the creative offering.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important, though, that one does realize it. And I mean, again, I've worked for small brands who've had a really fight and scratch for money, and for bigger brands where I had the luxury of a bigger checkbook. And I think the one thing that stayed true, or I've tried to stay true to it with my teams through the years, is, and I often use the phrase that sometimes the person with the biggest checkbook is just that. The person with the biggest checkbook. They're not the smartest. And certainly when we were a smaller brand and we were scratching and fighting for survival, I'd often say to my team, if it was just you and that person, one-on-one, same budget, would you outmarket them? And every time, it was always yes. And that's all I could ask for. Now, you know, it's that self-belief where people believe that they can get up earlier, they can work harder, they can work smarter, they can stretch their budget. And that is it. And then as I worked up and I got into companies with bigger budgets, you've got to guard against being lazy. You've got to guard against throwing big sums of money at it, you know, throwing something at the wall and something will stick in, you know, just not sure what. So very unscientific sometimes, and I'm not saying everybody does that, but certainly we try to guard against it. I don't say we got it right every time, but that is the temptation. The temptation, as you say, is to try and spend yourself to be successful. And one's got to be careful of that.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, apart from the financial imperative, your CFO is going to be knocking on your office if you just keep rolling out the big bucks without attending to the bottom line. But from a media perspective, I've always argued it's not the budget that's the issue. If you've got $1 million as a budget and you've got $1 million worth of marketing objectives, we're in the game. If you've got $1 million and you've got $1.5 million worth of objectives, we're probably still in the game because we can discount our way and we can be smart. But if you've got $1 million and $10 million worth of objectives, it's a non-starter. And that is the problem, is that media agencies in many instances are so desperate to take on business, take on the million, is they don't look at the responsibility that's implicit in the whole exchange. And when they lose the business at the end of the year because they haven't generated $10 million worth of results, they're devastated because they worked their tails off for the $1 million. The time and the place to stop the rot is up front. Don't, you know, you need, it's easy for me to say, you know, because times have changed and standing up to clients in a corporate environment is a lot tougher than it was in those days. But you've got to stand up and point out the gap between the R1 million on the table and the R10 million in your head. It can't be done. It's just that simple.
I think sometimes mathematically it doesn't work. But what I've also found, though, is that sometimes there's a disjoint between the client, the media component, and the actual advertising agency. You know, and again, you know, so at the end of my tenure at my last company, we brought all those together. So we would sit in a media marketing meeting, and we had it every Tuesday. You know, we would sit down, and everyone had sight and visibility, so they weren't done in sequence. It was almost done in parallel, that people would sit down and say, that's the common objective. Can we all work together up front and get it sorted, you know, as opposed to, you know, coming up with a creative idea, then trying to find the media and sort of shoehorning it or making it fit, which is just, in today's tough economy, just nothing short of crazy.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, why I'm, as I said, I'm hanging around in the hope that somebody will start an ad agency. So, but here's the reality of it. Anybody who's ever been to boarding school in the army will tell you, if you put 20 yolks in a room and 10 pieces of toast with jam on them, there's going to be a riot, okay? You can't have 10, you know, pieces of toast trying to service 20 plug-in points at an ad agency. There's just not enough to go around. You have to consolidate the overhead. So people have to work together. They've got to start swallowing their pride and recognize that without cooperation of media and creative and digital and whatever, there's just not enough money to go around. It's really cooperate and survive or go your own way and die in the desert.
Yeah, and it's not just from the agency's point of view, Gordon. You know, I look at client and you know, I was on the client side all my career. And you also look at sometimes the arrogance inside of a client. You know, you get what I would call a ceremonial marketer, and I have an aversion to that. You know, somebody who wants to be at the flash, the big photo shoot, the president's suite at the sponsorship, and doesn't always want to do the graft or understand what work needs to get done, and then passes it over, and it becomes an agency problem. You know, so when things go wrong, it's an agency problem, and when things go right, of course, I was the genius. And you know, years ago, I think it was Professor Andy Andrews at Wits Business School told us, he was doing some work with us, and he said to us, it's like a window and a mirror. When things go well, you've got to look through the proverbial window and say, it's you, my team. And when I say the team, the extended team, you know, the agency and media. And when things go badly, maybe it's the mirror. Maybe it's the reflection that's looking back at you. And I think that's sometimes the problem with leadership, you know, strong leadership at client as well. Gone are the flash days of just wanting to be sort of Bobby Dazzle and getting down to the nuts and bolts of it. And that's the science part of marketing and not just the art side.
Yep, and that's it. You know, getting down to nuts and bolts is hopefully what this podcast is going to do for the industry. So it'll be Gordon Miller, the guru, and
the doc, Doug Matthias. And hopefully, you know, you've enjoyed it. You've enjoyed the intro episode in terms of, and we've covered quite a few things, Gordon. You're ranging from industry bodies to client marketers to the disjoint or maybe not so, to great brands in South Africa. We mentioned Nando's, to big brands that try to outspend. I've mentioned the checkbook marketer. So there's a lot of stuff, you know. I think between the two of us, we've been around, and I don't want that to sound as an arrogant statement, but we've seen a lot of things. We can always learn. We're open to learning. So please, you know, as you said earlier, like us on Facebook. Get involved. You know, send us ideas, things that are burning topics that you'd like to see addressed, and we'll try, you know, our level best to cover those.
Outstanding. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks' time. So thanks for joining us, and send in those ideas. No holds barred, no subjects too big, and no subjects too small. We'll take them on head on.
And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Matthias. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc. And it's Gordon Miller, the guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, at Mzanzi Media. And I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo. And we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.